Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Welcome to episode 11 of This Week in the Hawks. My name is Graham. As always, we are here. It's a lovely Friday morning. it's wet. Nothing new here for this country. But we're going to get right into things because I'm a little bit pressed for time. context is fantastic, isn't it? Let's jump into some of the news for the Hawks this week. After a very entertaining week last week with a trade deadline and Hawks making moves here and there, this was quite a slow week, as you might expect. The only bit of news really coming through on Sunday, kind of off-the-court news, came through on Sunday that the Hawks and Lamar Patterson agreed to have him waived as such to deal with a personal issue, which is really unfortunate because I really like Lamar Patterson, and I was happy that at least he had got himself a deal to the end of the season, and then unfortunately has got to go deal with whatever he has to deal with, and I think he's deactivated his Twitter and such as well. So hopefully he's okay. I would be sad if he was not okay. But it does open up an extra roster spot for the Hawks to kind of work with. And Bud has kind of said that he looks for, quote, true point guard. Well, that's what Chris Fillmore of the AGC is reporting, that the Hawks are looking for a true point guard. And there's a few options out there for the Hawks when it comes to point guards. Unfortunately, they let Terrence Jones get away. Flip's sake. Terrence Jones agreeing to sign with the Bucks there yesterday. I really like Terrence Jones as a player. But a couple of point guards that are kind of available. Jose Calderon. poor Jose. Yeah, and ESPN, of course, have been rumouring the Hawks with Jose Calderon. Mario Chalmers, I don't know what kind of shape he's in. I know the Cavs worked him out recently in their the point guard trials. And then signed Derek Williams. true point guard right there. Jordan Crawford has supposedly been doing quite well. I don't know how he'd be interesting in Atlanta, I have to say. I have Gravis Vasquez written down. I have no idea. I don't even remember the Nets waving Gravis Vasquez. And I have no idea if he's in any shape at all, because he had a terrible run since he was traded from Toronto to Milwaukee that year in 2015. So I don't know. Will Bynum is also available, but I doubt the Hawks would want to revisit that as such. And lastly, the guy I have written down here, who I would really love for the Hawks to go get, is Kendall Marshall. I really love Kendall Marshall quite a bit. If he refits that true point guard kind of position, a role as such that the Hawks are said to be looking for, he's not like... Kendall Marshall had some good seasons in his brief time in the league. How about taking a flyer on him? If not, because he's most likely going to be your third point guard anyways, so he's not going to get a whole lot of time. But take a flyer on him. Take him to Hawks University and see what the coaches can do. Because I'm a big fan of Kendall Marshall. I really believe he has a true point guard ability there. And on Thursday there, Bud was kind of saying there's nothing new on the search for a point guard, but they're supposedly closing in on the search, or that there'll be news soon as such. So interesting to see who will it be. I'd imagine probably it'd be Calderon, but sure, look, we'll have to wait and see. That is literally all the news this week. There is nothing going on. So let's get to some game talk from the last week. The Hawks have played 4 games since we last spoke on Friday. Let's start with the game against the Miami Heat. Oh boy, Heat 108, Hawks 90, Ash Phillips Arena. The three-pointers was the story here. The Heat hit a season-high 17 of 37 from behind the arc. That's 46% shooting from three, as they just completely destroyed the Hawks on their home floor. It was really... Because the thing about the Heat is they have so many guys that can kind of drive and kick. Like you've got your Tyler Johnsons, your Dragic's, your Ellingtons, your other players. they've Dion Waiters. There's another one, but just loads of, like, and this is the problem with the Hawks. This game, they just once someone penetrated, everyone just absolutely collapsed. And you know, the Heat do a good job of kind of kicking the ball out and moving the ball. They racked up 30 assists in this game. They just did a great job just kicking the ball out and just and this kind of just took it from there with their 17 threes, and it was unfortunate because that was just good Heat basketball that just completely destroyed the Hawks. They just broke them down. This Heat team's interesting because I wouldn't want any part of a 7 or 8 seed matchup with them, especially for someone like the Celtics. I really wouldn't. That would be very interesting. But the Heat have played two very good games against the Hawks. They played them again in early February and blew them out in Miami as well. The only thing good here were there was two things that were good. One was Paul Millsap in the first half, scoring 19 points. If it weren't for Paul Millsap, this team would have probably have been down by at least 25 at the half. He was a man on a mission. He was like the only person that seemed to really want it, and everyone else just kind of sucked. Apart from Torian Prince, I thought, who put in a really good shift at coming off the bench there. Not the most amazing box score, 8 points, 3-7 shooting, but just doing the little things. And you know, he's really beginning to set himself apart, I think, when off the bench now in this in the minutes that one of the rookies are receiving. But there was one thing from this game though that was really unusual, was that Dennis Schroeder, of course, served his suspension. The team imposed suspension for turning up late after the All-Star break. Malcolm Delaney started in his place, and unfortunately Malcolm couldn't really get it going as such or take advantage. Not that he would start anyways, but it would have been really nice to see a kind of EuroLeague-esque performance from Malcolm, but kind of struggled. 5 points, 2 of 10 from the field. He did have 4 assists, and you might think, wow, from a starting point guard, that sucks, but considering that was a team high in assists, that was, you know, you gotta give him a little bit of credit. But discredit the Hawks for their ball movement. 14 assists is one of their worst of the season. And this is no coincidence, I think, because the Heat kind of held them as well to one of their other worst assisting nights of the season as well, when they played in early February. So it's something that the Heat have kind of figured out as such with defending the Hawks, but it's just, it's not ideal. But sure, look, it didn't really matter if Delaney had it going anyways. They were just blown out. The Hawks were from the off. The center matchup was a bit of a letdown in the end. Dwight Howard, 4 points, 2 of 4 shooting, 7 rebounds, I believe. I can't read my own writing. While Hassan Whiteside scored 2 points on 1 of 9 shooting, but did have 11 or 12 rebounds as well. So, but he did kind of help the Heat kind of grab 15 offensive rebounds, which led to 18 second chance points for the Heat. So, decent there. I guess we got a Dwight jump shot that actually went down. Yay for Dwight. He had a jump shot. Oh, finally. Was there anything else interesting? I don't want to spend too long on this game because it sucked. It was so bad. Anything else interesting from this game? 50 bench points from the Heat is kind of interesting. Scoring the Hawks 50 to 39. Other than that, the Heat are the 6th different team to set a season high in 3-pointers made against the Hawks. That kind of tells you a lot you need to know about the Hawks' season. And there's nothing else interesting from this game. Like I said, this game was terrible. And speaking of which, we follow up with a back-to-back against the Orlando Magic. The Hawks went to the Amway Center on Saturday. And the one game you thought they would win in this little stretch, they lost 105 to 86. The big thing here was Dwight Howard picked up a third foul in the second quarter, and then the Magic went on a 16-5 run to kind of close out the quarter. The Hawks had been leading by as many as 13. No, sorry, they've been leading as many as 9. And that kind of run helped the Magic kind of recover from that. And the Hawks were playing some really good ball in the second half and the second quarter. Some really good defense. It was looking like one of those throwback defensive games from the Hawks. And then Dwight picked up that foul. The Magic went on their run. Then Dwight picked up a fourth foul before checking out. And some terrible third quarter. This wasn't a horrible defensive game from the Hawks, but just the offense, just as you could probably imagine from 86 points, just completely broke down in the third. And they shot a really bad percentage. I don't know that off the top of my head. Oops. But just they seemed to make a concerted effort to get Dwight going in the opening stages of the third. And there were some decent looks, like that great lob from Schroeder to Dwight that almost like destroyed the rim. And there were other just terrible shots from Dwight. Tim Hardaway Jr. didn't help either. Trying to post up Evan Fournier, as you can imagine, got absolutely nowhere. The ball bobbles out, and Hardaway takes a contested three-pointer with the shot clock winding down. Of course, it misses. They had some bad turnovers to the Hawks, which the Magic really made sure they capitalized on. Only three turnovers for the Hawks, but in that third quarter, but the Magic scored 11 points off of those. I found that hard to believe when I saw that on NBA.com, but oof. So all these little things kind of added up, and the Magic very quickly turned this into a complete blowout, which was terrible. 38.1% shooting from the field for the Hawks in this game. 14 of 26 from the free throw line. Dwight kind of had a poor night from the line. 5 of 13. Accounted for a lot of those free throws missed. 17 turnovers, which led to 26 Orlando points again. They really punished the Hawks for their turnovers. Terrence Ross had a good game. You gotta give him credit. Elfrid Payton had a good game. Near triple-double. Gotta give him credit. Gotta give Frank Vogel some credit. They seem to be playing a little bit higher tempo. Maybe with Ibaka no longer there. And Terrence Ross kind of... I didn't like some of the Hawks' defense, I have to say, on Terrence Ross. Like, at times, he's probably the best three-point shooter on the floor for the Magic. How about picking him up in transition? That would be helpful, but, you know, what do I know? The main thing that people are talking about from this game was Dennis Schroeder came off the bench for this game, which was strange, having served his suspension. I thought initially, because we didn't really know why he was coming off the bench. So I thought it was some sort of disciplinary measure, but I was thinking if he is going to play and come off the bench, what's the point of having him there at all? As such, like, if you're going to start, if you're going to commit to the decision to not start Schroeder, he shouldn't play at all, essentially. And the Hawks kind of found themselves in an 11-point hole early, which was not great. And then Schroeder came in. It was like, well, we'll just start with an 11-point hole, essentially. But then the reason for this post game was revealed that Dennis had actually missed. He was late for the team bus heading to the Amway Center for the game, and so Bud decided to, we said we've got a culture to us. You know, we've got a culture, and we got to hold everyone accountable. And I'm bang on in agreement with Bud here. You're late. You got to hold everyone accountable, and literally everyone. Like, you can, no exceptions here. Just not good for Dennis. Like, you've just served a one-game suspension. I don't care if you had visa problems or whatever. First of all, you'd no excuse to be in Germany that late, close to coming back to practice and the such. So you can make excuses if you want, but you just can't do that kind of thing after you've just served a one-game team-imposed suspension. So not a great look for Dennis, and neither was his shooting line. 11 points, 4 of 17... but did have only eight assists and only one turnover, I guess was something. Ilyasova, again, kind of, I didn't mention him in the last game. He scored 9 points in the last game against the Heat, kind of most of those coming in the fourth quarter. Not such a strong game this time. 5 points and 2 of 9 shooting, 1 of 3 from behind the arc. Still trying to get himself comfortable. I guess there was one positive from the evening. Torian Prince was pretty good. 11 points, and the CEO, which is a season high for him, 4-7 shooting and 2 of 3 from behind the arc. A decent night for TP. Always good to get him some good minutes. And is there anything else interesting from this game? No Mike Muscala in the rotation. Oh no, sorry, Muscala only saw 2 minutes of action. So, and Mike Dunleavy did not play this game because he had an ankle injury, which he is still nursing, and he is still out for tonight's game, which we'll get to in a little bit. Anything else interesting from this game? No, this game was terrible. I hope you didn't watch this game live, because I watched this game at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was very angry and very annoyed that I had wasted my time as such. But hey, it's all good. Moving on to a much better game from the week. The Hawks made their only trip to Boston there on Monday, and they pulled through with a 114-98 win. in Boston to even that series up. That tiebreaker is unlikely to matter at this stage. The Celtics are kind of too far ahead of the Hawks for them to really, make a push. The big talking point here was Dwight Howard's ejection. Dwight, late in the third quarter, was kind of posting up, had a dunk, decided to kind of lift himself a little bit, and got himself a second technical. And the first technical he got was John shoving with Al Horford. Got himself that second technical and was tossed. NBA came out after the game and said that he shouldn't have been tossed. The technical foul should have stood, but it should have been a non-sportsmanlike technical, which meant he would have stayed in the game. That wasn't the case. And NBA very quickly came out, and you don't normally see this, very quickly came out and said he shouldn't have been ejected. But of course that didn't mean anything to Dwight or the Hawks. But thankfully the Hawks had a little bit of a buffer, and they managed to hold on and extend their lead once Dwight was out in the fourth. But I think the reason Dwight got called for, because he didn't pull his chin above the rim, and he even had a pull up as such for hanging as such in the first half in this game, and nothing was called. I think it's just the way that he kind of jerked his neck and his knees as such when he kind of pulled himself a little bit. And I think that's what kind of prompted the officials to kind of give him a second tee. But for Dwight, you just have to be smarter. Like, you just can't, like, you're Dwight Howard. Like, you just, technical fouls are kind of drawn to you. A lot of them reputation. You just can't give, and when you're sitting on one tech, you just can't give the officials an excuse to just hand out another freely willy as such. So even though it was a weak call and it should have been for non-sportsmanlike behavior, Dwight has to be a little bit more smarter in that situation. You know, he apologized to his team afterwards, but he's very lucky the Hawks actually won this game, because if they that could have been a turning point, because the crowd was kind of out of the game and the Celtics seemed to be fired up afterwards, especially Al Horford. That could have been a real turning point in this game, and if the Hawks had lost, everyone would be pointing to that tech, and everyone national wide as well would have been looking at that as well, and the blame would have solely rested Dwight's feet, because there's no need to pull yourself up when you've got a technical foul, even though it was a weak call as such, even though he didn't even get his technical fouls worth of a pull up. You just can't give them excuse for that. The main turning point of this game, besides that, was Al Horford picked up his fourth foul with 8:25 left in the third quarter. The Celtics had a 1-point lead when he left, and when Horford had to check back in because Kelly Olynyk just got himself a technical and his fourth foul, the Hawks were up by 12. So the Hawks were, kind of the rim protection was gone for the Celtics. Dwight Howard had some very good matchups in that were going in his favor. Like, I don't like Dwight post-ups, but when he's against Kelly Olynyk, I'm inclined to feel a little bit more supportive in a few post-ups for Dwight. Just get him the ball. Again, I have no issues with good Dwight post-ups. It's just when he's backing down Marcin Gortat, who is a big man and is very strong, I just don't like that shot. But I don't mind posting up a smaller Olynyk. And Dwight had success at posting there and getting some shots to go. There are some drives from Dennis Schroeder and the such. Kind of that lack of, the Celtics have a lack of rim protection anyways, but when Al Horford's not there, it's a little bit more pronounced. So the Hawks really took advantage of that, and the Celtics kind of offense kind of fell a little bit. This was a 24-13 run before Horford came back in. Horford's one of the Celtics' better offensive players. You know, averages 5 assists a game, scores 15 points. You know, he's just the next best offensive player next to Isaiah Thomas. And they needed that, because Thomas only shot 4 of 21 from this game. His streak of scoring 20 in a game, a 43-game streak there, came to an end in this one. Hawks did a great job of kind of making things really physical for him. They made Thomas feel the Hawks, in a sense. Being just physical off of screens. If he's going to the rim, there's at least one or two guys there to kind of put a body on him. Not take him out, but just kind of... something the Hawks do well is verticality. Torian Prince had a great one on Isaiah Thomas there, and Paul Millsap had as well. Dwight Howard got a few blocks on them as well. Thomas had three of his shots blocked. Just a really good game defending Isaiah Thomas, and something you might see in the playoffs going forward. I don't believe in the Celtics' ability to kind of create outside of Isaiah Thomas, and teams are obviously going to plan for Isaiah Thomas in the playoffs. He's not going to have as much good looks, so if other players like Avery Bradley, and you saw kind of against the Cavs when they played the Cavs the other night, when Avery Bradley and Drake J. Crowder and all these guys aren't hitting their threes as such when Thomas has to give the ball up, it's not a pretty look. And that's kind of what the problem with the Celtics was here, was they just missed a lot of shots. They shot 16 of 34 from behind the arc, 39% shooting from the field. Without Thomas kind of being shut down in a sense. And to be fair to Thomas, you know, he missed quite a number of shots that he would normally make. Some were open, some obviously the Hawks played some very good defense. But this is just a little glimpse of what you're probably going to see in the playoffs, and why I don't really believe in the Celtics as a deep playoff team, but their seeding might help, at least for the first round. Was there anything else interesting from this game? I don't want to spend too long on these. I'm in a rush, damn it. No, I'm missing. So the first technical foul that Dwight got, he kind of took a whack to the arm as such, and he was on the ground. And I think Dwight was just sick of just going to the free throw line time and time again, because people are just kind of slapping down on him when he's anywhere near the rim, because they'll just take that instead of the easy 2 points that he's going to get from a dunk. And so I think Dwight had enough and then shoved Al Horford and then walked away. Horford covered a good bit of distance, has to be said. But he was mad. Horford was not too happy. Some Hawks fans were joking that was the maddest they'd ever seen Al Horford get. Not quite true, but even still, he was pretty fired up, got the crowd into it. Unfortunately, the Celtics couldn't really take advantage. Hawks eventually taking a 20-point lead, as high as 24 there in the fourth quarter before Horford and Thomas were benched there. Good win for the Hawks. Dennis Schroeder needed to have a good game after his issues. 21 points and 9 of 14 shooting. Cephalosha back in the lineup here for the first time. 12 points, 5 of 6 shooting from the field. When Cephalosha has the shot going, it's so important for the Hawks. It really is. I had a stat there on Tuesday there. Hawks are 12-4. I had this on Twitter. Hawks and 12 are, they're 12-4 when Thabo scores 10 or more points in the game. And 16 of 7 when he scores 8 or more points in the game. Isn't that insane? I think it's absolutely insane. Because it's not a lot of points. Like, 8 points is nothing, really, for a wing. Like, it's 4 field goals. That's it. So, really good there for Thabo to kind of have that little shot going. 5 of 6 is great. 2 of 2 from behind the arc. Paul Millsap, decent game as always, 17 points. Dwight Howard was having a very good game for him. 17 points, 12 rebounds, and 27 minutes of action there. Could have been so much more if he not got ejected, but we'll have to live with that one. Anything else? No Mike Dunleavy, of course, here. Another tough game for Ilyasova. 7 points, 2 of 8 shooting, 1 of 5 from behind the arc. Ilyasova was feeling a little bit more comfortable, he said afterwards, but just the shot wasn't quite falling for him this game. Really good win for the Hawks. They kind of needed it. Not only to stop a 3-game losing streak. Oops, I hit my nose off the microphone. You might have heard that. To stop that 3-game winning streak that kind of started with the Clippers at the end of before the All-Star break. But just against this kind of team, it was just a good, good win. Finally, moving on to the last game that the Hawks played this week. Going on Wednesday against the Mavericks at home, they opened up a 6-game homestand. Came through, thanks to Paul Millsap, with a 195 victory. Paul Millsap hits the go-ahead bucket with 30 seconds left. Some good defense from the Hawks. They get the rebound. Ilyasova shoots 2 free throws, which is something I was on a foul call the Mavs were quite upset about post-game. And then out of that, they try to go for a 3. Kent Bazemore steals it, and he dunks it home. Game over. This is your typical March. I know this is the 1st of March, but it's just your typical March game. There was nothing too interesting from this game as such. though there's a few things. Hawks shot 72% in the first half and only took an 11-point lead, which Bud was kind of disappointed by. He was kind of lamenting the fact that the lead was only 11. And he's right. When you shoot 72% in the first half, you should be up by a little bit more. But they weren't. There was a lot of turnovers in this game, 42 in total. 22 for the Hawks, 24 for the Mavs. Mavs kind of tried to pick up the pace a little bit. Something that kind of Dirk and the such have been kind of talked about post-game was that because they're a little younger and, you know, Boga and D-Will are kind of a little slower and as such, they've been trying to play a little bit faster. There was even an instance in the third quarter where Yogi Ferrell is... is getting the ball up the floor, and Coach Carlisle is just kind of rushing them on, like, pick up the pace. And Dirk was kind of saying that post game as well, like, we don't need to get 20 fast break points a game, but we just need to go a little bit faster because they're a little bit younger, more athletic. So it's interesting to see what other teams are trying to do. Didn't really work for the Mavs here because they only scored 3 fast break points compared to the Hawks' 21. Dwight Howard, decent game here, 14 points, 5 of 5 from the field. 4 assists, which was nice, you know, that was good. Some nice variety of passing from Dwight in this game. Ilyasova, there's a few interesting things. Ilyasova kind of finally broke out as such. Will the real Ersan please stand up? 18 points, 6 of 7 from the field, 4-4 from behind the arc. You know, the more and more games he's going to play, and, you know, Coach Bud is kind of force-feeding him minutes as such. Mike Muscala hasn't played rotation minutes a little bit. Part of that reason is because, you know, Bud just wants to get Ilyasova in there and kind of used to the system, you know, what game time there is left. So that's kind of the reason for that. Anything else interesting from this game? There really wasn't much interesting. It was just your typical home game in March, other than Paul Millsap. No, that's literally it. Ilyasova, a little bit of pace from the Mavs, Paul Millsap's go-ahead bucket. That's about it. It really wasn't an interesting game as such. It was a good win for the Hawks, you know, good to kick off the homestand the right way, but just not a very interesting game compared to, like, your Boston and the such. So that's all the game recaps. Let's get to some of the stats from the last 5 games. These stats are correct as of Thursday because I tried to record this on Thursday, and late on Thursday night, and it didn't go very well. So, oops, more context, but hey, we're transparent here. Just some points of the last 5 games for the Hawks: a 2-3 record, 94.8 points per game, as 29th in the league. On 43.8% shooting from the field, it's 22nd in the league. 31.6% shooting from the field, it's 26th in the league. Free throw percent of 68%, that's 28th in the league. Oof. 45.4 rebounds per game, that's 9th. 20.4 assists per game, that's 24th. That number needs to go higher. Again, you know, you preach a ball movement kind of offense. Sometimes the ball sticks. Again, I don't believe that's on the coaches, it's on the players, and that's kind of what Dwight said after the game, you know, after the terrible loss against the Magic, you know, this is on us, we're not doing enough. So players need to do more in that sense. 7.6 steals per game, that's 23rd. 5.2 blocks per game, that is 7th. 17.6 turnovers per game, that's 28th. Again, turnovers, not great. An offensive rating of 95.2. That is the worst in the league over the last 5 games. A defensive rating of 101.3, which is actually 5th best in the league over the last 5 games. A net rating of -6.2, which is 25th in the league. 26th, excuse me. And a plus minus rating of -6.2, which is again 25th in the league. So not great. And when it comes to individual stats, no one has played awfully and no one has played exceptionally well. So it's really not worth mentioning any players who've been playing good or bad. Everyone's just kind of been average as such. Maybe that's the problem. Moving quickly on to the schedule, Hawks back in action tonight on Friday against the Cavaliers. Kyle Korver's first appearance in Atlanta since obviously he was traded back in January. That will be emotional, I think, for him. I'm sure there'll be a video tribute lined up. Big game for the Hawks because they play some good teams coming up. On early Sunday, they play Indiana at home, again, continuing that six-game homestand. Indiana, that's a team that's near the Hawks in the standings. They're, I think, a few games back, but like four games back, but they just need to take care of business there. No Kevin Durant as the Golden State Warriors come to town on Monday, part of a back-to-back. Expect a lot of Warrior fans to be out for this one. That'll be packed, as well as the Cleveland game, of course. And then on Wednesday, the Hawks have a little bit of relief. We'll find out when they play the Brooklyn Nets on Wednesday night at Phillips Arena. Is there anything else interesting? When I say interesting, I'm talking about breaking news. Twitter is very quiet this morning because it is, after all, 4:41 in the morning in Atlanta, in the Eastern time, when I'm... Oh gosh, do you have to give all the context? Just really make this... Just date this as much as you can, sure. Oh, you're the worst. Anyways, a little bit short edition today, but hey, circumstances. We're less than 40 minutes. That's fantastic. Anyways, that's going to do it for today. Thank you very much for listening. Hopefully the Hawks can get some good wins here. The Cavs one would be nice. Imagine going up 2-0 in the season series against the Cavaliers. That'd be something, wouldn't it? Anyways, enjoy that game and enjoy your weekend, and I will see you later.